Eddie Binford Ross, and I am interviewing my dad, Chris Ross. So tell me, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Rochester, New York.
When did you grow up?
I was born in 1958, so I primarily am a child of the 60s. When I grew up, a lot of things changed, a lot of things happened. I was a child of suburbia. I went to was in a good school district. I grew up, my parents bought the house right after I was born. It had just been built. So they moved into it when I was like a month old. And that's where I grew up. I lived my entire childhood through high school in that house. That house still exists in our family. My sister now lives in it. I am pleased by that. When I grew up, I was a normal, fidgety, exuberant kid who would have done a lot better, as my teachers would say on my report card, that I would have done a lot better in school if I'd been able to focus and stay on task. I was perhaps a little too excitable to sit still in chairs all the time, but I did okay. I managed to get through. By the mid-60s, the world around me became very turbulent. The Vietnam War was heating up. The anti-war protests started heating up. There were race riots going on, and this was on the news every night, and you would watch it. My parents would watch the news, and I would sit and watch it with them because we had just got a television when I turned 7. We did not have a television until then. So we got a television in 1965. I was 7 years old, and I was quite mesmerized by it. So I watched the news. I watched whatever was on it. So I would see things like, black people being pushed down by hoses, powerful hoses that the police and fire department would spray on them to clear streets or get them out of restaurants and things like that. Or I would see body bags being taken off of helicopters and from the Vietnam War. And every night on the news, they would give us a report of how many Viet Cong died and how many South Vietnamese died and how many Americans died. And it was like we were winning, quote unquote, the war because less of our people were dying than their people. But when it all got totaled up, over 60,000 Americans died in Vietnam or something like that. So I don't know that we did all that well there, but it became a So Martin Luther King was shot in 1967 and the race riots went on. And so Rochester, the city that I grew up right outside of, Rochester burned. We had awful riots. They burned down whole parts of the city and we weren't allowed to go into the city for like a couple weeks. You could see the smoke rising from above Rochester. We were about 10 miles away. You could see the smoke rising from the city during that week. It was a crazy time. And I lived in suburbia, so it was like totally the opposite. It was like we were at the very edge of suburbia, so there was still farmland around, and I did live across the street from the town dump, which afforded its own many joys for a young lad to go discover what was over there in the dump and playing in the fields around there. And We had real winters, so we would have an ice skating rink in our front yard during the winter. Every night I'd go out with my hose and run water over the ice to give it a nice new coat of ice for the morning, as long as it didn't snow at night. And I played lots of sports, and so part of your life is sort of idyllic, and we had a swimming pool in my yard, so you play and you like play around like kids do, and the country was being torn apart literally during the 60s. I reminisce about the 60s particularly because it reminds me a little of today. So I'll leave it at that.
What kind of sports did you play?
I played pretty much all sports. I loved baseball. I played basketball. I played soccer when it became popular. I did not play football. I'm not exactly the largest, and I wasn't very big when I was a kid. So football, I never played any organized football. I used to play tackle, you know, and kill the guy with the ball, which, you know, you'd play with your friends and you'd throw the ball up and whoever caught it would just run around and everybody would try to tackle you or kill you, quote unquote. Organized sports didn't begin as early as they do now. So I started Little League when I was 9, baseball, and then basketball. That started a little later, and then soccer came around when I was 12. So that became an organized sport around when I was 12. So then I played soccer. That ended up being my sport of choice through. I played that into college. So
what was school like?
School, well, like I said, I was not the most focused on my schoolwork. I enjoyed the social end of school, perhaps a bit too much. But all in all, I did okay. I did very well in the classes that I enjoyed. And I didn't do so well in the classes that I didn't. I had sort of a more up and down, and it really wasn't until much later, you know, once I went to college, where I really focused and did really well on grades. I mean, I still, you know, I still came out ultimately with above a B average in high school, but there were some C's and D's along the way by classes that didn't thrill me too much.
Do you have any funny memories from your time at school?
Oh, school. Let's see. Mrs. Bacher used to pull my hair regularly, which was very hard to do because I had a haircut that was called a Princeton at the time. And a Princeton was basically a crew cut with little bangs. So you had little bangs that came down on your forehead, but the back of your hair was cut really short, so it stood straight up. So somehow Miss Bacher was always able to grab the hair on the top of my head. She was not my most popular teacher. So probably then I acted up more in her class, which made her pull my hair more often. And my sisters, who were younger than me, both ended up with Miss Bacher and told me that I owed them a lot for putting them through, because I don't think Miss Bacher was a particular fan of me. My sisters claim she took it out on them. But let's see. There was then in high school, there's the I didn't get my diploma when I graduated. I had to work at the school for an extra week after graduation because we had had after a pep rally at our school very close to the end of the year. There were two high schools in the town I grew up in Pittsford. So there was Pittsford Sutherland that I went to and Pittsford Mendon. And we are, of course, you know, rivals. So some friends of mine and I came up with the bright idea that we would go over to the other school and do a prank. So we had eggs, we had tomatoes, we had fire extinguishers, we had whipped cream in cans, we had soap. So we were going to go and pull some pranks. So we went over, we pulled into the parking lot. We did manage to get into the parking lot without anybody noticing us, really. And we snuck into the school. And all of a sudden, people started to notice us. And so we had tried to plan it to do it during lunch so we would prank their lunch, but we didn't quite make it. So we did what we could in the hallway where we were, right by the door, and then we all ran out and ran back to the cars and drove off really quickly, being chased by kids from the other school. And of course, we were all identified because, you know, we weren't very smart about our pranking, doing it during the lunch period. So we were all identified, and most of us were seniors, so we all had to work an extra week after we graduated to formally get our diplomas. Yeah.
Did you have a favorite teacher?
My favorite teacher would be, might be a tie. There was Miss Lynch in second grade, but that might be because I just loved her, and she was a brand new teacher, and she was very sweet, and so I would follow her around with big puppy dog eyes and do whatever she told me. That was my best year as far as my behavior, because I was a good little boy for Miss Lynch. And then Miss Woods in sixth grade she was great because she let us form our own government. We had a little student government, and that we would manage our own, you know, problems or transgressions, and decided some punishments for each other and things like that. But we had Robert's Rule of Order, and we had elections periodically, and so that was great fun. She trusted us a lot, and I think we all really liked that. And then English teachers in high school, two of them, English teachers and social studies teachers, and they teamed up to do what we were reading and studying in English was the literature end of what we were studying in history. So I really liked those classes a lot, Miss Lynch and Miss Hirsch. They were great. And they let us make movies for our projects. So we made two movies instead of writing papers. So we did a movie on the Civil War and reenacted the beginning of the Civil War, the Battle of Fort Sumter in the bathtub, and did a version of Monty Python's Bring Out Your Dead for Gettysburg, where we went around in the field where we were after Pickett's charge, picking up the dead bodies and putting them into a wheelbarrow, going, "Bring out your dead, bring out your dead." We thought that was very pithy for the That was ninth grade, as a matter of fact. Yes, as freshman in high school. We did have a little seriousness in there somewhere, I'm sure. We did manage to pass that class with decent grades. So I think all in all, they appreciated our creativity, if nothing else.
What was one of your favorite subjects?
History. Yeah. English, some years, was really good. When we didn't have to diagram sentences. When we got to just read good books. But probably mostly history in high school later on, in junior high and high school. Definitely. And there was, and again, because I was coming out of the 60s, a lot of my teachers were, you know, people who, you know, came of age, went to college in the 60s, were some of those people who were affected by those radical times. So our history classes were pretty, they pushed the envelope quite a bit as far as what we talked about and what we discussed and studied. So I appreciated that. They definitely listened and helped us make sense of what we had grown up through.
What was one of your least favorite subjects?
Least favorite, math, and I didn't get along with a couple of my science teachers, even though I really am very interested in science now, but I didn't get along with a couple of my teachers, and so I didn't do very well in biology and chemistry, and even though I find them both quite fascinating nowadays, but and math, I did fine in it. I ended up, you know, in advanced math and took calculus, but I just never really enjoyed it. And I didn't even really understand what it was for. I didn't know that, you know, Isaac Newton came up with calculus to explain his physics, or that trigonometry was used for building bridges and things like that. So it was never really, we were never showed the applications of it, which I felt was always something that was lacking in. Now that I look back on my math education.
How did growing up in the 60s and your childhood itself shape who you are today?
It made me a flaming liberal. And I became a teacher, which probably, you know, I worked as a counselor for abused kids and abused women. I went into helping professions as I became an adult. And I think that that was a big part of growing up and seeing what was going on around me and seeing inequities and trying to figure out what I could do that would help the world around me. And so I taught migrant workers for a few summers when I was in college. And have taught young kids for most of my adult life. So I think that you know, that part of growing up and seeing the inequities and wanting to help in some way was probably what led me down that path.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.